Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to you all. This is the Business Day Spotlight, your destination for African business made simple. My name is Mudiwa Gavaza, and for today, we're going to be getting into a conversation around the world of logistics, the world of staffing, and some of the trends that are being seen in that particular space, especially when it comes to, e-commerce and some of the pressures that it's brought to bear on this particular aspect of doing business. We are joined by Quintus Sleep, who is Managing Director of Worldwide Staffing, and we're going to be getting into that discussion and, just keen to get a sense of, what's going on in the e-commerce space, what are some of the trends, and, where do we see ourselves going when it comes to staffing this fast-growing piece of business in South Africa. Quintus, greetings to you today.
Good day, Mdiwa. Nice to be here. Thanks for the invite.
Perhaps a good place for us to start is Worldwide Staffing itself. As a company, as a business, as an organization, a little bit around that and, some of the services that you guys provide.
Thanks, Mdiwa. So Worldwide Staffing is a temporary employment service provider. Now, for the people that does not know what a temporary employment service provider is, that is basically a business that, as it says, provide temporary employment to employees and a service then provided to businesses or companies where they would need employees for a specific period, for a short period, for assignments, for projects, or just for a fixed term project that they need to finalize. That is when we come into place. We then provide those employees to those clients. Those are all vetted and checked employees, always ensuring that we provide employees to our clients that is not going to cause them more problems than fulfilling their needs and sorting out their concerns.
Now, Quintus, I'm sure you get this a lot of the time, but what's the difference between a temporary employment, company such as yourself, when we look at that as compared to what a lot of people consider to be a recruitment agency?
So the two are very closely linked with each other. Temporary is, as I just explained, and your recruitment agency, majority of the time, would be a recruitment agent recruiting for a company in a single position, most of the time for a permanent position. So recruitment is the employee coming in for an interview, the employee being put forward to the business for that interview, the person being successful or unsuccessful at that interview, and then starting to work for that company. And there's no further relationship with the recruitment agent and that employee going forward.
Okay, I think that gives us, a little bit of insight into some of the differences on that end. Now, e-commerce is one of those things that we cover quite a bit on this particular platform. We have featured and engaged with a number of, different e-commerce types of businesses on this platform, including the largest in the country, which is Takealot. And one of the observations, that we have made is the fact that it does seem that at least in the e-commerce space, has probably been one of the biggest draws for what are considered to be gig economy workers. Right. People often think about, your Uber drivers, they think about delivery drivers, that type of thing. But with some of the other businesses that we have interacted with, I think of the likes of Karoo Logistics and that type of thing, where they're outsourcing. We've even, chatted to the guys at Uber Eats, outsourcing their logistics infrastructure for businesses that might not necessarily have their own, logistics, internal logistics framework and all of that. Where in this value chain are you guys, coming in on, I guess, the logistics piece when it comes to e-commerce? And specifically, what are the roles that you guys are, typically finding yourselves having to fill?
So, I think that the maybe to start off with a gig economy, majority of the times you have individuals that put themselves out there for flexible, temporary, freelance kind of jobs. And that often involves connecting with businesses or clients via online platforms, etc. Now, I think the big thing in my view is that voluntary decision to work as a freelance or a temporary employee. Whereas when you look at a temporary employment service provider, you would have employees that does not really have that access to those clients, to those companies, to those businesses. You would have a let's use a take a lot like you just used, or a big logistics company where any person can't just walk onto the client or the business site and say, "Listen, here I am. I'm looking for a job and I want to work. Can I work for you?" Those people don't have access to the managers hiring people or supervisors hiring people. Whereas the temporary employment service provider company has access to those bigger clients, those bigger businesses, as they are our clients. So where a temporary employment service employee previously wouldn't have access to a permanent job, let alone a permanent job or a temporary job, now suddenly we offer them that access into that industry, into those businesses by providing them those temporary jobs. So I think the big difference is, your gig economy is almost a voluntary kind of decision, whereas the temporary employment service provider is, you've got thousands of employees that's willing to work and is really well-versed and qualified to perform their job, but they don't necessarily have access to those positions. So in my view, it's two kind of economies or industries complementing each other, whereas not at all competing against each other. And that is our view of the gig economy versus where we fit into the entire picture.
I like the distinction that you make between, I guess, temporary employment services versus what's going on in the gig economy. And the fundamental question that I'm keen to understand, because you guys specialize in this stuff, right? From a wider, I don't know what we can call it, people management, HR, point of view. One of the other things that we've noted is the fact that at least on the big tech companies, at least I'm thinking of the likes of Google. I've heard some interesting stats that, up to 60% of their workforce is now, on a contract basis, right? We recently had a conversation on this platform with a tech company, and I'm going to pose the same question to you that I posed to them to say, with what you are seeing in the market, right? Employment is a big issue. You guys clearly have a role in the market, otherwise you wouldn't exist as a business. Has our economy moved to a point where permanent employment will no longer be a thing in the foreseeable future?
I do not think so.
Okay.
I think our economy is much different than probably some of the international economies. I think our economy is not necessarily set up to work on the same kind of principles as a Google, for instance. Yeah, I just don't think we're close to that at this stage. That's my view.
Okay. And the reason I'm asking that is from the work that you guys are doing as Worldwide Staffing, are you and I like the fact that you've got the word worldwide in your title. Is it just South Africa? Are you part of a bigger group? Like what type of territories are you looking at? Because you guys are observing, some of these trends, and it's always good to understand if South Africa is sitting on its own, or if South Africa's trends are part of maybe something that's wider that's happening elsewhere.
Absolutely. So I think it's a question with quite a few answers to it. So I'm going to try and answer it as concise as possible. So first of all, Worldwide Staffing is part of a wider group, the Workforce Holdings Group, and we are an international listed company. So we operate in South Africa, we operate in Africa, North America, South America, And then the worldwide staffing part of it is obviously operating in South Africa, but we are also operating in the UK, where we have operations as well. So the worldwide is great for us as well. And then I think in a broader temporary employment industry kind of thing, it's a global industry. You're looking at an industry whereas the biggest role players, the US, the UK, Japan, you're looking at about a 450 billion euro annual turnover from
Wow.
this industry.
Wow.
So even though I said it's not the, or we're not moving in a space where permanent employment is going to disappear, it remains a massive industry globally. I mean, 450 billion euros a year, it means it's a massive amount.
Yeah, it's a huge amount, and back of the napkin mathematics would have you sitting at around 8 or 9 trillion rand, depending on what you're looking at. That's a massive what you call that's a massive opportunity. And
Yeah, absolutely.
I think that helps us to turn to, I guess, the mechanics of how you guys work, how you guys operate. When it comes to the e-commerce businesses specifically, let's look at e-commerce businesses. Do you have a register of businesses maybe that are, on your platform, and they come to you guys and say, these are staffing needs right now. Please may you find us XYZ, types of skills, people, and all that? Or do you have a base of, people that are sitting and looking for opportunities?
So the answer is actually both. We have obviously clients in the e-commerce space that would come to us and say, we're now moving into a Black Friday period, or it's the Christmas holidays, and then after the Christmas holidays you've got the back to school rush. So you've got this well-established peak periods with throughout the year, and everyone can plan accordingly. And obviously you can't employ people permanently or employees permanently for a 2 or 3 week rush and then another month rush and then a 3 week rush. I mean, it's just not economically sustainable to employ a large number of people permanently over those periods. So those clients, the e-commerce clients would contact us and say, for the Black Friday period, we need to start ramping up 2, 3 weeks before the Black Friday period, and then obviously for a week or two after that. And we would require X number of employees during this period. Can you assist us? From our side, on the other side, we have large pools of employees that's registered with us as employees, and we obviously want to offer them opportunity to work. So whenever these opportunities become available, we have various different platforms on how we communicate with these employees. We would tell them, guys, we have these positions available for this period over this time. Are you interested in taking up any of these positions? Majority of the time, everyone is pretty keen to work during these periods, because it's a good income period. And that way we connect the labor part to it, to the e-commerce industry, and everyone contributes to the end user, you and I, to get our Black Friday spend into your inbox.
One of the things I'm quite curious about, especially you mentioned just now that obviously there come these times of peak demand, where some of the operators need to scale up their operations to meet that demand. You mentioned the likes of Black Friday, Christmas. We're also talking about, back to school, whatever it is that's causing a spike in demand. You need increased staff, whether it's people that are, on a shop floor, moving products, into baskets, dispatch, all of those things that are happening. What is, from what you can see, what is the biggest demand for? Is it for skilled, types of people that will come in and, help with some of the logistics that's happening? Or is it more the unskilled, side of things? We need, hands on deck to, to maybe load vehicles, to pick products. Like what are we seeing?
So obviously, in the e-commerce industry, it's pretty important that you can read and write. A lot of it is picking your products from a wall. So you'll have all these bins and these boxes, and the order will come through, and that employee needs to read and understand the product. They need to then pick and fetch the product. It then comes back to a different area where it's then packed. So the reality of it is that there are very, very few positions where it's unskilled positions, especially in this industry. The possibility or the chance of a e-commerce client accepting employees with less than a grade 12 certificate are very, very slim because of the literacy in terms of that. You then have the other side where all those kind of products that's already been packed then goes onto trucks and gets transported, whereas you then have your people with code 10, code 14 driver's licenses. So in the e-commerce, it's a little bit more skilled than some of the other industries that you would work in.
Okay. And the other curiosity that's on my side is from a staffing requirement point of view, let's say that I, as you know, Mudiwa, I come onto the platform and I'm on the labor side and maybe a business. I don't know who your clients are, but I'm just using Takealot as an example because it's the one that people know. Let's say Takealot is a client of yours, and I am part of your register as a worker, and then maybe it's Black Friday, it's November, you've got the Black Friday month that they go through. I get put into part of the operation, and I'm doing my work. Come the Christmas rush, obviously. I was only there for about maybe 2 weeks, and then come the Christmas rush. Do I go back to Takealot because I've got experience, working there, or do I just find myself at some other business? Maybe Macro is looking for some guys, depending on what's there.
It's always great if you can have the same employees working at the same clients. Obviously, if you've got experience at a client, you start knowing the client, you start knowing the products, you start knowing the flow of the business. So it's always from a supplier point of view, our point of view, a lot better to supply the same employee during those periods to the client. So from our side, definitely we try and keep the same employees. It's obviously not always possible because there are situations where people do find permanent employment. And in that first place, I mean, if someone can find a permanent position, that is what we're all hoping for these employees. So they're not always available, or things do happen. But from our side, if we can keep the same people, that's where we want to be. Luckily for us as well, if you look at three of the biggest peak periods, you've got a Black Friday, then your Cyber Monday week, that basically then rolls into the beginning of December, that starts ramping up for Christmas. And then just after Christmas, you've got the back to school rush. So you basically, unless something goes terribly wrong, you have the same pool of people that can then work from 2 3 weeks prior to Black Friday all the way to mid January, maybe the end of January, depending on how things looking. So yes, that is where we try and be in terms of this.
Okay, and it's actually, I guess, a cool model that as much as possible, if you can get the people that are familiar with the client already, to make that, to be working on a consistent basis, that would be good. But I wanted to touch a bit on what you mentioned just now to say, in certain cases, you expose, maybe someone in your labor pool to a company, and they end up getting a permanent position. Does that factor into your risk matrix in any way? We often talk about the issue of disintermediation. To say at some point, people end up garnering their own relationships, and then they take their relationships outside of the platform. Does that, form, part of a risk for you guys, or is there just so much uncertainty in the labor market that people stay in the labor pool anyway?
So it's I don't think it's a risk. I think it's just part of doing business within this industry. It's one of the comments that I made earlier in the discussion because it really is something for us that's great to see someone that got an opportunity, has impressed this client in such a way that they now see a potential for this person to work for them permanently. So obviously, in terms of commercial relationships with clients, we factor this into everything we do and the commercial part of it. But at no stage would I say it's a risk for us. There's probably so many unemployed people in South Africa, and there are so many skilled unemployed people in South Africa that the people willing to work and skilled enough to work and what we want them to do, I mean, those people are there. And it's great then to offer another person a opportunity as well.
It is a very interesting model, at the end of the day, because we do have a huge unemployment crisis in South Africa. And if some of these services, temporary employment, can help, with that, you might not have, an income through the 12 months, but if at least you've got something to do, every other week, which ends up translating to 9 or 10 months of the year, that's better than, nothing, especially in an environment like the one that we are in. Now, we've spoken quite a bit about e-commerce. I think the other sector that does this quite a bit when it comes to temporary employment, I think, is the creative. The creative sector, I'm thinking film and television productions, that type of thing. It tends to be project based. If the production is lasting a year, that's how long the employment is going to be, and then you move on to the next. But I wanted to get your sense as Worldwide Staffing, what are the other industries that are making use of your services outside of, maybe some of those?
Oh yeah, it's actually a very, very wide range of industries. Obviously, the e-commerce logistics are pretty big. Then we provide a lot of services to the mining industry, the retail industry, the medical supply industry as well. So I can probably keep you busy for a half an hour on the industries that we're busy on. But it's really from our point of view, if there is a company with any industry and they have a need or a requirement, we will find that employee or the person or the resource to fill that position or to assist with that requirement. So even if we are not within that industry, we will go and find the people or the person that is required for that industry.
And I'm sure you're engaging, with a lot of executives in the companies that form your client base. What's the typical discussion that you're having, right? Because naturally, someone like me on the outside would be like, but XYZ company could just go find these people on their own, but they're coming to you guys because it's a core business. So what are those discussions like? Because clearly they're willing to outsource that type of function. Is it a cost saving? Is it a time saving? Is it a like what is the discussion around value that you're having with your clients?
So it's more than just one. It's a cost saving. It's a value add. It's a time saver. So if you have a big logistics company or any company for that matter, and you need to hire X number of people, you need to go through a recruitment process. You need to advertise the positions. You then need to receive all the CVs, and that's a process where one advert would have 1,000 or 2,000, thousands of people applying for that position. You then need to work through all those CVs. You then need to shortlist it. Someone there needs to interview these people. Once you believe you've got the right person, you need to go through a vetting process to see that you are getting what you think you're getting. Then that person needs to go onto a payroll system. That person needs to be managed. So that whole entire life cycle, if you take the time, the money, the effort to hire a person versus then having a service provider like us picking up the phone, sending an email saying, listen, guys, I need a number of people. I need them tomorrow or by next week. Can you assist me with that? And tomorrow morning, you've got the people at your site ready to work. I mean, if you take that entire process, it's really worth your while. Obviously, a lot in South Africa at the moment is based on costs. We've got the national minimum wage going up on Monday, Friday morning. So that's a big discussion, obviously. You need to find a way where you get the value add for what you're paying for these services. And if you are not going to have your customer at the top of your mind and ensuring that you're efficient in what you're doing, your customer service is great, you're going to fall behind.
Yeah, it's it's one of those very interesting things to see happening on the ground, and also the different factors and considerations. It does seem like cost is a huge issue, like what you said. This is one of those things that seems to drive a lot of decision making, in South Africa, is cost, both for consumers and businesses.
Absolutely.
On the last point, Quintus, is where you guys are seeing things right now. We've obviously spoken about, I guess, filling roles in a physical sense. When it comes to e-commerce, we're talking, people actually going into warehouses or going into operations and making things happen. From the services that you guys are providing, is there anything, around staffing for maybe international companies, because there has been this huge trend towards remote working, and we keep hearing that people in various parts of the world are now working for companies in another country, another jurisdiction, all of that. The easy one is obviously BPO, your call centers, that type of thing. But just keen to understand, as worldwide staffing, do you guys, provide that type of service, or are you guys more into just the, I guess, more physical, realm of labor?
Now, look, you need to be diversified. You can't just stick to one business model these days. So yes, definitely. It's something that's taking the world by storm. I think it's something that COVID brought to everyone is you can work remotely. So we have clients across the world, internationally, where we provide remote workers. I think the big thing from a remote worker point of view from South Africa and going into other countries, you don't necessarily have the problem where employees need to have visas to work in those countries. They don't have the cost to relocate, et cetera, et cetera. That person can sit in South Africa. They need a laptop. They need access to the internet, and they can basically do their work wherever and whenever they need to do it. So it's not just the call centers and the BPO. You have a lot in terms of accounting services, IT services, those kind of things. And it's really taking off, and it's becoming a really, really big, business phenomenon at the moment.
Yeah, I think today has been a really educational session that we've had, just talking about the world of temporary employment services, some of the trends, in the space, some of the things that Quintus was helping us with understand is the fact that your sectors such as e-commerce, have been big drivers around temporary employment in South Africa, because in certain instances, maybe as a business, you need to have a flexible structure in which you can't necessarily have 100 people all the time, but perhaps there are hotspots during the year, maybe 3 or 4 times a year, where you do need those 100 or 1,000 hands, on deck. And then temporary employment services such as worldwide, worldwide staffing do help from that point of view. And also at the same time, talking about the fact that, you know, outside of e-commerce, they are servicing, you know, other industries such as mining. And he's saying that they are seeing, you know, quite a bit of action, you know, outside of that. So your logistics, your mining, I think he mentioned retail, you know, as some of the industries that they are in. And then also talking about the fact that South Africa, you know, hasn't reached the stage that other companies, not other companies, other countries are at. So there is still a place for permanent employment in a country like South Africa. But, you know, the action that we see when it comes to temporary employment does, you know, help, especially to fill some of the gaps where businesses can't do what they're doing. Also getting into the remote working trend, it has been a huge one. We've seen a number of players, you know, coming out and setting up services that can help to staff, you know, certain functions for companies around the world. I think the point that he made about, you know, not needing to physically be there, not needing a visa, you literally take a lot of the headache, you know, out of the process that's normally associated with hiring people, you know, from, you know, from other geographies into your operation. So it has been an interesting one from that point of view. So that's been it. We were in discussion with Quintus Sleap, who is the managing director over at Worldwide Staffing. Quintus, thank you so much for being with us today.
Madhua, thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
And that's been it for this edition of the Business Day Spotlight. Remember that you can find our latest podcasts on Business Live. That's under the podcast Business Day Spotlight tab on Twitter with hashtag BD Spotlight. And remember that you can review and subscribe for free on iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, or wherever you choose to get your pods casted. Thank you to our amazing team. I've been Mudiwa Gavaza of the Business Day and Financial Mail. And this has been another edition of the Business Day Spotlight, which is a multimedia live production. So, for myself and the rest of the team, it is good evening, good afternoon, and good morning.